What? Oh, not at all, not at all, said Bagman. No, they were just telling me a bit more about those fake ones of theirs, wondering if I could advise them on the marketing. I've promised to put them in touch with a couple of contacts of mine at Zonko's Joke Shop. Percy didn't look happy about this at all, and Harry was prepared to bet he would be rushing to tell Mrs. Weasley about this the moment he got home. Apparently Fred and George's plans had grown even more ambitious lately if they were hoping to sell to the public. Bagman opened his mouth to ask Harry something, but Percy diverted him. How do you feel the tournament's going, Mr. Bagman? Our department's quite satisfied. The hitch with the goblet of fire, he glanced at Harry, was a little unfortunate, of course, but it seems to have gone very smoothly since, don't you think?
Oh, yes, Bagman said cheerfully. It's all been enormous fun. How's old Barty doing? Shame he couldn't come.
Oh, I'm sure Mr. Crouch will be up and about in no time, said Percy importantly. But in the meantime, I'm more than willing to take up the slack. Of course, it's not all attending balls. He laughed airily. Oh, no, I've had to deal with all sorts of things that have cropped up in his absence. You heard Ali Bashir was caught smuggling a consignment of flying carpets into the country? And then we've been trying to persuade the Transylvanians to sign the international ban on dueling. I've got a meeting with their head of magical cooperation in the new year.
Let's go for a walk, Ron muttered to Harry. Get away from Percy.
Pretending they wanted more drinks, Harry and Ron left the table, edged around the dance floor, and slipped out into the entrance hall. The front doors stood open, and the fluttering fairy lights in the rose garden winked and twinkled as they went down the front steps, where they found themselves surrounded by bushes, winding ornamental paths, and large stone statues. Harry could hear splashing water, which sounded like a fountain. Here and there, people were sitting on carved benches. He and Ron set off along one of the winding paths through the rose bushes, but they had only gone a short way when they heard an unpleasantly familiar voice.
"Don't see what there is to fuss about, Igor. Severus, you cannot pretend this isn't happening."
Karkaroff's voice sounded anxious and hushed, as though keen not to be overheard.
"It's been getting clearer and clearer for months. I am becoming seriously concerned. I can't deny it."
"Then flee," said Snape's voice curtly.
"Flee! I will make your excuses. I, however, am remaining at Hogwarts."
Snape and Karkaroff came around the corner. Snape had his wand out and was blasting rose bushes apart, his expression most ill-natured. Squeals issued from many of the bushes, and dark shapes emerged from them.
10 points from Ravenclaw, Fawcett!" Snape snarled as a girl ran past him. "And 10 points from Hufflepuff too, Stebbings,"
as a boy went rushing after her.
"And what are you two doing?"
he added, catching sight of Harry and Ron on the path ahead.